You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Get a load of this, Adam Schiff. You know this person knows they're full of Adam Schiff, but yet they're going to publish in print and put their name on a guest opinion column that is just filled full of Adam Schiff. I'm sorry, but I can't think of any nicer way to say this. So I see this guest opinion column in the Liberal Lee newspapers this morning, and here's the headline: Constitutional redistricting protects people, not politicians. And of course, it's written by some left-wing activist here. Constitutional redistricting protects people, not politicians. Okay, so if redistricting, and especially the way redistricting is done in Montana right now, protects people, not politicians, then why does it protect a certain political party? Why does it protect certain politicians on our Montana Supreme Court? Why does it protect foreign financiers who fund some of these ballot campaigns, who then basically fund ballot initiative campaigns that will protect these very politicians? That's why this whole thing is such a bunch of partisan spin from a radical left-wing activist with zero credibility whatsoever. Constitutional redistricting protects people, not politicians. I went into Grok just real fast. Hey, Grok, what is the definition of a politician? A politician is a person who is actively involved in politics, typically holding or seeking a public office through election or appointment. Are our Supreme Court justices elected? Yes, they are. Are legislative Democrats elected? Yes, they are. Our current redistricting system here in Montana is designed to protect not just the Montana Democrat Party, but to boost the most radical elements of the Montana Democrat Party. Our current redistricting system gives power to the radical left-wing activists that still hold the majority on our Montana Supreme Court. And of course, in the midst of this Texas redistricting battle, now you're starting to see the AstroTurf messaging coming from these far-left activist groups. They're saying, "Nope, nothing to say here, folks. Nothing to say here, folks. The Democrats have lost every statewide office in Montana. The Democrats, even after controlling the redistricting process here in Montana, still couldn't win a majority in the state house or in the state senate. And if you're a reasonable Democrat, if there's any reasonable Democrats left in places like Plentywood or Scobie Knowles, you will not get elected. They will not allow you to hold any power whatsoever in the Montana Democrat Party because they are off the deep end. But anyway, yeah, we've been talking about this whole redistricting process. Right now, you have two Republicans and two Democrats on the redistricting commission. In theory, they should decide on a chair, and it should be a fair process. And the district should be fairly drawn, both for congressional seats and for legislative seats. But instead, the Democrats throw their temper tantrum, never agree on a fair process, and then they just punt the ball to their left-wing buddies on the Montana Supreme Court. And then the Montana Supreme Court decides who the chair is. They have the deciding vote, and then they shove it down your throat.
It's August 11th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is Play in the Sand Day. Go ahead, be a kid, build a sandcastle on the beach. In 1984, President Ronald Reagan jokes about bombing Russia while testing a microphone before a scheduled radio address.
I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Also on this day, in 1965, the Watts Rebellion begins in the predominantly black neighborhood in Los Angeles, following what spectators thought was another incident of racially motivated abuse by police. Born on this day in 1983, Australian actor Chris Hemsworth of Thor fame.
Loki is beyond reason, but he is of Asgard, and he is my brother.
He killed 80 people in 2 days.
He's adopted.
Fox News personality Tommy Lahren, born in 1992. I'm CJ Papa, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, for those of you who didn't hear the news yet, the Anaconda shooting suspect has been captured following what Attorney General Austin Knutson describes as an unprecedented coordinated effort for state, local, and federal law enforcement. Attorney General Austin Knutson will join us next hour in studio here on Montana Talks. Plus, I'll go back to that redistricting conversation here in just a few minutes, maybe in the second half of the show here this hour. J.D. Vance, Vice President Vance, had some incredible remarks with Maria Bartiromo yesterday. But this is great. We've got our guest already with us on the phone lines. Mandy Gunasekera. I'm glad I remembered how to pronounce her last name. We got a chance to catch up with you, I think, when you were the EPA Chief of Staff for President Trump in his first administration. So, Mandy, it's great to have you back on Montana Talks.
Yeah, it's really great to be with y'all.
The EPA news and just all of the news when it comes to unleashing American energy has been great news across the board here in Montana. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, I think, look, just a few weeks ago, Administrator Zeldin made one of the biggest deregulatory announcements when he decided to take on something that has been a major problem for industrial development and overregulation in this country, but prior folks just didn't have the wherewithal to actually do it. Administrator Zeldin does, and that is proposing to get rid of the endangerment finding, or AKA dismantling the Green New Scam that has permeated so many agencies and undermined them fulfilling their missions and also undermined economic growth. So I think that's a great place to start talking about how EPA really is the tip of the spear in getting President Trump's goal of reindustrialization of the United States and deregulation off to a really great start.
Yeah, we've seen the impacts here firsthand in Montana, Colstrip, the beautiful town of Colstrip, and beautiful clean coal, beautiful clean coal mining jobs, beautiful clean power plant coal jobs in Colstrip as well. And they were under attack by years of Democrat politicians, and not just Barack Obama and Joe Biden, but even Democrats here in Montana and their radical environmentalist backers. What is this, you know, this news out of Lee Zeldin and the EPA, what does that mean for just the everyday worker in a place like Colstrip?
Well, at the end of the day, what it's going to do, it's going to put downward pressure on overall cost. It's also going to further enhance President Trump's goal of energy dominance. And one of the best things we've seen from President Trump, coal has been denigrated for far too long. Even among some Republican circles that I've been a part of these conversations, folks want to throw coal under the bus, and that should never have been the case, and that should have never been a part of the energy landscape or conversations in this country, because I've been to some of these coal mines. They are clean, they are efficient, and they provide a stable source of affordable energy. So at the end of the day, for a place like Montana, it's definitely going to be a boon for local economic development, but for the everyday consumer, it's going to make prices go down, as President Trump said. He wanted to make life more affordable again. So he's creating jobs, putting money back in the pockets of American citizens first, and that's just going to create all sorts of derivative benefits for communities that get to come back to life, really, and for the people in Montana that provide a lot of those energy resources, you know, you're going to be a part of this great reindustrialization that is really built on the resurgence of clean, beautiful American coal.
Yeah, and speaking of clean, beautiful coal, we saw the One Big Beautiful Bill get across the finish line on top of executive actions out of President Trump, executive actions out of the EPA. We're also seeing some Supreme Court decisions here recently as well. But on top of that, we're also seeing, you know, what our congressional delegation here in Montana fought for, which is access to federal coal deposits for like the Signal Peak mine south of the Bull Mountains mine south of Roundup. That is great news. Last year they were afraid that they were going to have to shut down by the end of the year or sometime this year if things like this didn't happen. So there's real on the ground impacts from the Big Beautiful Bill.
Yeah, absolutely. And the best thing about that, honestly, these are lessons learned from the first administration. And I think it's across the board from President Trump on down and really working with Congress to codify the good policies so that the next administration that comes in that isn't going to be as friendly to traditional American energy resources like President Trump, they can't just flip the switch and try to turn it off. They'll have to go to Congress and they'll have to negotiate and fight for a bill and pass it in the halls of Congress like President Trump did. And the good news about that, that means longevity, longevity for policies. And in the business community, that means that you can make those investments to build out that development and those mines and then the jobs that go along with it and community planning. It really is a positive effect that starts at the top and goes all the way down to those smaller communities that really rely on that type of certainty coming from the top in order to grow and prosper in a very local level. So it also shows how the heavy hand of regulation, we heard this for years from the Obama administration and the Biden administration, you know, that they weren't interfering with market dynamics, but they were. They were in such a detrimental way, especially in a place like Montana that is so tied to the local resources that are there, that if you're not able to develop because the federal government makes it too expensive or increases liability to where third parties can come in and stop that, make it so complicated, it's just never going to get off the ground. It has a real felt negative impact. And anyway, what a wonderful change it is for these types of places. And if you can change it at the base level, you know, energy development is the bedrock of which our entire modern economy is built. If you can change it at that level, it just creates all sorts of positive benefits across the entire U.S. economy.
Yeah, you know, what we're really seeing with President Trump is in his first 6 months in office here is remarkable. Mining, energy, streamlining these regulations, you name it. No more small ball. This is time to think big about what it's really going to take to make America great again and to make timber great again, make our mining in America great again. Hold that thought. Back after the break.
Fox Sports Update.
Who's going to win?
The first leg of the PGA Tour's FedEx Cup playoffs not decided Sunday until a third playoff hole between Justin Rose and J.J. Spahn.
Oh. Yep. First birdie on the third playoff hole. No. And Justin Rose is a playoff winner again.
On NBC, 45-year-old Justin Rose won the St. Jude Championship on the third playoff hole. He won $3.6 million and guaranteed he'll move back into the top 10 world rankings. The top 50 golfers in the FedEx Cup standings move into the second leg of the playoffs this week at the BMW Championship outside of Baltimore. World number one ranked Scottie Scheffler finished tied for third at the St. Jude with Tommy Fleetwood, one stroke behind Rose and Spahn.
6-3 at one point. Rose had tied it up. Collins, 5-4.
FanDuel Sports Network Wisconsin, the Milwaukee Brewers came back from 5-0 down to beat the New York Mets 7-6 on Isaac Collins' ninth inning home run. Milwaukee now with a record of 73-44. The Mets have dropped 7 games in a row and 11 of their last 12. They have fallen 5.5 games out of first place in the NL East as the Phillies completed a 3-game sweep of the Rangers, 4-2. The Brewers now 6 games ahead of the Cubs for the lead in the NL Central. The Cubs lost last night in St. Louis to the Cardinals, 3-2. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, Mandy Gunasekera has worked on Capitol Hill in both the House and the Senate, and then, of course, was president, served under President Trump's first term administration as chief of staff at the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Number of different topics we can cover here. Thankfully, she's able to join us for a few more minutes, and then I'll get into redistricting and some of these other topics here in the second half of the 8 o'clock hour. Mandy, first, before we talk more about this endangerment finding and the impact on everyday vehicles that Americans drive, you wrote a book. I love the title of your book. I'll have to see if there's an audio version of it. Let's see, what's it called here? Y'all Fired: A Southern Belle's Guide to Restoring Federalism and Draining the Swamp. You got to tell us about this book, because I just love the Y'all Fired book, because my wife's got a funny T-shirt, and it says, Y'all Need Jesus.
I love that, too. That's true. Turn down CNN and turn on Jesus. That was a catchphrase we had during COVID, actually.
Nice.
Love that. The book I wrote, it really is about my experience in dealing with the deep state in really crude, awful ways, and how far they were willing to go to not just stop President Trump's policies, but to demean, demoralize, and discredit the people who were working for him. So the book has three main parts. The first is my anecdotal experience, everything from anonymous investigations that come with tens of thousands of dollars in legal bills to the State Department putting me up in a sex hotel in Germany when I was going to negotiate after the Paris Accord. I mean, it's the crazy stuff. But that's the first part. The second part is it's a deep dive. It's for the wonkier folks who want to figure out, how did we ever get to a point where the unelected bureaucrat has more sway in our constitutional republic than the individual American voter? I do a deep dive, go into the history there. And then the last part is, what do we do about it? And the good news on that front, I am happy to report, a lot of the policies have been embraced by the Department of Government Efficiency, the DOGE process, and President Trump's cabinet leaders as they try to once and for all shrink the size and scope of the federal government and refocus them back on their legally mandated missions given to them by Congress.
So kind of you went through the Trump first term. And then now you're seeing what, Trump 47 is doing. And there were so many great things that were done and were accomplished in the first term, despite all the Russia hoax and the, I think President Trump honestly thought that he could work with some of these people. And then he saw what snakes that were truly in the swamp, even on the Republican side, right? And so it's almost like everything they did to him, you know, he had to bear the burden. But thankfully, now he's coming back with an even greater force and across the board, across the whole team. It's really a unity of effort. How would you compare Trump EPA round one to Trump EPA round two?
It really is night and day, and it's reflective of those lessons learned. And through each of those trials, from President Trump on down, it provided clarity. And clarity can be such a gift, especially when you get to a place like Washington, D.C. And I do think a lot of us, myself included, probably a little bit naive early on, thinking that you could approach a lot of those engagements with the deep state as you would any deal-making opportunity. And that's certainly what President Trump did. But it's night and day. The other piece of it, you know, the 4 years under President Biden were really unfortunate, but it also was a gift for those of us who were very committed to President Trump and the America First vision he had painted, figuring out how to not waste time. The truth is, when we first went in that first go-round, we wasted a lot of time for a variety of reasons. We weren't going to do that again. I was a part of Project 2025, but there were a lot of conservative groups that were really hunkering down and figuring out, okay, what are the most important policies? Who needs to be in charge of those policies if we get a second term with President Trump? And then what are the steps that need to be taken to be implemented? We know there's going to be lawsuits. How do we plan for that? So across the board, so President Trump on day one, He not only had a plan of action, he had a whole army of loyal folks who had been thinking critically about how to help him get these policies done across the finish line. And, you know, tying it back to something we talked about in the last segment, ensure longevity, because longevity is so important for economic reasons, but also just for the continued success of our constitutional republic in a broader sense.
And I think the American people are fully read on now. I think there was, you know, a slice of the American people in the first term that still thought they could trust some of these people in the media, still thought they could trust some of these people, even in some of the old Republican establishment, still thought they could trust some of the people in the swamp. And now the American people are fully read on because they saw everything they did to Trump. And now we are bouncing back even greater than before, I truly believe. So sometimes you gotta experience bad things to get back on a better path. Let's go back to this endangerment finding and the overturning of this endangerment finding. This is what the climate alarmists have used to try to shut down everything, energy, agriculture. But it's also hitting American consumers. I was talking with a friend yesterday who knows a lot about vehicles, and we were talking about, well, is your car an 8-speed or a 10-speed? Well, the climate alarmists even started mandating, you know, more of these so-called energy efficiencies in vehicles. And now, you know, if you're trying to repair a vehicle, it's going to cost you a lot more money because you got more speeds in your vehicle. That's more things to repair. It's more expensive to repair. And sometimes it doesn't even do that much for, you know, tow capacity or anything like that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And this is what happens when a regulator interferes with the job of a mechanic or somebody or an engineer who should be building a car. They're making decisions to appease political preferences versus giving consumers the latest, greatest product that checks all of the boxes that they care about. And let's be real, the American people do care about the environment. They want to know that the car they're driving isn't denigrating the air quality of their neighbors around them and so forth. But they also care about efficiently and affordably getting from point A to point B. That was the whole purpose of independent transportation. And so the endangerment finding, let me set the stage. We did jump right into it, but it's important for folks to hear because you will hear the climate alarmist. It's all over some of the mainstream media that's still out there saying that the endangerment finding was this scientific body of work. It was not. It was the result of a manipulated political process to achieve a political goal under President Obama, which was his climate action plan, which at the end of the day sold out the American economy at the United Nations and let places like China and India get a free pass while making it harder for our great industries like the American auto sector to thrive. So Lee Zeldin going after that, and specifically his first step is getting rid of the greenhouse gas regulations that impact light, medium, and heavy-duty vehicles. It's going to do away with a lot of these superfluous things on your vehicles that were put there to comply with the regulation but do little to actually increase the safety or the efficiency or reduce the environmental impact of the cars and trucks that we're all driving. So it really is putting the mechanics and the engineers back into the driver's seat, if you will, of making great products that we all want, we can afford, and actually provide the need that Americans have when it comes to transportation.
Mandy Gunasekera, former EPA chief of staff under President Trump in his first term, going back to just energy in general, electricity and power in general. So Butte, Montana, they're hoping to lure in a data center, you know, estimated value $1 billion to $4 billion. Yellowstone County, Montana, they just announced a Big Sky Digital Infrastructure, a Quantica infrastructure project, 5,000-acre energy and digital infrastructure campus near Broadview, Montana, 500 megawatts. And the environmentalists are saying, well, where are we going to get the power from? At the same time, they sue every power project practically in the state. They tried to shut down the gas plant. They were the ones attacking Colstrip. And so, but the point being is that there's so much demand for power right now that they don't care where they get it from.
Yeah, that's right. And the thing is, the men and women in U.S. energy, they know how to extract, refine, and deliver whatever resources that are needed to the market to fill that need, and they know how to do it very safely and very efficiently. Look, the the president's approach to AI, and this is also a part of Administrator Zeldin's five pillars at EPA to make the United States the AI capital of the world. This technology is here, it's taking off, and we want to be a leader because it's going to impact so many different aspects of life. I know why Montana and some of the northern states are a really great development opportunity because of the cold weather that actually helps satisfy some of the heating issues that come up on the engineering level when you're trying to monitor and run these operations. But nonetheless, we have the energy resources here to fulfill today's needs and the expected growth alongside the AI evolution, or the AI revolution, rather, and the growth of cryptocurrencies. We have all that. The problem is the policies of the last administration have actually set the grid back by at least a decade. That was in a Goldman Sachs report that came out a couple weeks ago. The good news is, all that is changing at a rapid pace, thanks to President Trump's focus on all this and commitment to energy dominance. And so we have the ability, we have the technology and the wherewithal. We just, again, we need the folks who monitor the energy grid, the ones who understand how energy works, and the markets work and operate, to make decisions based off of delivering on that need instead of appeasing the wants of politicians. And that's what President Trump is largely addressing across so many different ways, but he's really going to open up a lot of these opportunities. And, you know, you'll still have to deal with the environmentalists. They're, at the end of the day, very anti-development. But the good news is we have some additional clarity from the Supreme Court of the United States, really reining in a lot of this frivolous litigation. And so we'll see a ton of these projects actually take off. And thanks to the permitting reform aspect as well, it's going to be done a lot faster than would previously have been.
Mandy, goodness sake, great to have you back on Montana Talks. We'll have to get you on the show again to talk about the Chevron decision and if there's an opportunity on that front as well, speaking of Supreme Court decisions. But appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. And I'll have to see if I can find her book on an audio book while I'm driving across Montana. Yeah, I love the title. Y'all Fired, A Southern Belle's Guide to Restoring Federalism and Draining the Swamp. All right, coming up after this, Vice President J.D. Vance plus Karl Rove weighs in on the Texas redistricting map. And you know we're always going to include the Montana angle with that story as well. Plus, we can sneak in some of your phone calls. Summer.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, Vice President J.D. Vance, it really is a must-watch interview, must-listen interview. I listened to the J.D. Vance interview. I was walking the dog, so I was like, yeah, let's listen in on Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo. And I'm walking the dog, and I'm out there thinking, man, I need to get a couple of these highlights for Monday morning's show, because what he is saying about redistricting is spot on here. So, of course, down in Texas, you've still got Texas legislative Democrats fleeing, hiding, using their, who knows, J.B. Pritzker, Democrat dark money donors, George Soros groups, are all lining their pockets and helping to fund them as they sit in hiding. Gavin Newsom says he's hiding some of these legislative Democrats there. I don't know if she was serious or not, but that Democrat State Senator Ellie Boldman said some of the Texas Democrats were maybe hiding in Missoula as well. Wouldn't be surprised. They're hiding in Illinois, all to try to block the redistricting process from moving forward. Actually, before we get to J.D. Vance, let's hear what Karl Rove has to say. Karl Rove was on with Howie Kurtz yesterday as well, and he explained how absurd it is that Texas Democrats are throwing a temper tantrum over the proposed maps down in Texas.
Well, it is bad for them, because back here in Texas, they're seen as not doing their job, and they're saying things that are simply not true. Take the Democrat spokesman you had on the CNN program. The redistricting plan that has been proposed in the House of Representatives, Texas House, creates two black majority districts for the first time in the history of Texas, and creates an eighth Hispanic majority population districts. So the idea that this is on the backs of blacks and browns is ridiculous. It's just the opposite. For the first time ever, Texas would have a compact, contiguous district in Dallas that is majority black and a similar district in Houston that's majority black.
But you say this spectacle isn't necessarily a slam dunk for Greg Abbott and the Republicans either.
No, because here's the math. There are 150 members of the Texas House of Representatives, 88 Republicans, 62 Democrats, and the quorum, you need to have 100 members of the state house in order to conduct business, and that means you got to get 12 Democrats to come home. Now, there are 9 who have shown up. There's a 10th whom I've been told is in town. That means they need to get a couple more. And the Speaker of the House has taken some rather unusual steps. The governor's filed lawsuits. The attorney general's filed lawsuit. But the Speaker has said if you want to get paid, and more importantly, if you want to get your per diem that you're due for each day of the special session, you have to show up in person in order to pick up the checks. And, oh, incidentally, if you're not here, we're going to kill a third of your monthly budget, which means that every one of those Democrats who has not shown up is going to have to fire one of their people because mm-hmm. their budget doesn't allow them to pick up the tab. So
now that's interesting there from Karl Rove. But what I wonder, though, is if these Texas legislative Democrats have J.B. Pritzker and some dark money operatives and George Soros groups lining their pockets, do they even care if they don't get their per diem from the state? And is that even legal that they can be getting their pockets lined with cash from Soros and Pritzker and the rest of those Pritzkers on the left? Okay, before I get to your phone calls, 294-0970, 406-294-0970, let me sneak in a couple of things here from Vice President J.D. Vance here. Let's see. Yeah, here we go. This is where he has explained how this is the big picture, frankly, is that the Democrats have been fighting to jam Democrat districts down the throats of America. As a result, Democrats have more representation than they truly are warranted. You wonder why the Democrat Party's gone so crazy? Look at the maps here in Montana. They gave more power to the craziest of the crazy in the Democrat Party. Where are the craziest Montana Democrats? Ding, 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 ding. You're right. In the university districts, the nutty professors, and some of the other radical left-wing activists. That's why when the Montana Democrats carved up the maps for the legislature, they gave more power to the university districts and eroded the power in places like Wilsall and the Paradise Valley. You think they want ranchers out there having a voice? No. They want the nutty professors having more power than is actually representative of the American people.
Everybody, even Democrats actually admit this, that the census in 2020 had a major statistical error. And what that meant is that you actually undercounted a few states that are Republican, like Florida and Ohio. You overcounted some blue states. And so what I understand, if you actually did the census anew right now, you would have 10 additional Republican seats and 9 fewer Democrat seats. And really what we're living with, Maria, is the consequence of 40 years of institutional control in the Democratic Party. These guys have fought very dirty for a very long time, and they haven't just won elections and enacted laws that we may not agree with. They have tried to rig the game for Democrats and against Republicans, and thankfully, under President Trump's leadership, you finally see some spine. You finally see some backbone in the Republican Party to fight back against these very aggressive Democratic dirty tricks, but the only way for us to do it is to actually go and do the hard work to reset the scales a little bit. What we want to do is redo the census, but importantly, we want to redistrict some of these red states, and we want to make the congressional apportionment fair in this country. Again, you cannot do it unless Republicans actually take some very decisive action in the months to come. We think they will, and we're obviously supporting them every step of the way.
All right, so this raises a good question. So what should Montana do? What should Republicans in Montana do? That plus another soundbite from J.D. Vance. But first, let's go to Francis and Big Fork on the phone lines. Francis, what's your thoughts on this whole redistricting debate?
Well, it's very crooked because, like Montana, it said they had two Democrats and two Republicans doing it. And you know blame well that the judge would point the fifth one. Well, she was a dumb Democrat. And, you know, the Democrats are the most unhappy people in the world. That's one thing Tulsi Gabbard said when she was here, is that when she went to meetings with the Democrats, they were always full of hate. When she went to meetings with the Republicans, they were fun. They were smiling. They even talked to each other. You know, it was wonderful.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's why I think a lot of Democrats don't want to like meet you face to face. They don't want to talk.
Oh, no.
They don't want to talk to you in person because they thrive on feeling like they are victims. They thrive. They want to believe, and they want all of their followers to believe that people hate them. That because you have a difference in faith, or because you have a difference in lifestyle, or a difference in sexuality, or a difference in you pick it, they want their followers, especially their young people, to believe that they are hated. And then when they actually meet Trump conservatives and realize, like, man, these people are actually nice, and yeah, they disagree with us, but man, they were nice to us, and they told us why they disagree, but it doesn't mean they hate us. Democrats hate that. Because they thrive on pretending to be hated. They thrive on being victims, don't they? Okay, let's see. What do we do in Montana? What should Republicans do in Montana when it comes to redistricting, especially if there is a new census in particular? We'll get to that here in a second. But first, another J.D. Vance clip from the Maria Bartiromo interview yesterday. So now Gavin Newsom, California Governor Gavin Newsom, who is just destroying California, he is claiming that, well, they will now go do further gerrymandering in California if Texas Republicans are able to do their map. But my question is, haven't they already gerrymandered enough? How much more gerrymandering could California do? Anyway, here's what J.D. Vance had to say about California.
And the other thing that we talked about, and I didn't realize this, Maria, until a couple of years ago, that, you know, for apportioning representatives, you actually count illegal aliens. So even though illegal aliens theoretically are not supposed to vote, we know sometimes they do, you still count illegal aliens for congressional apportionment. So California has way more House seats than it should because they have such a high population of illegal aliens. So they get rewarded for welcoming illegal aliens into their state, giving them federal benefits, actually asking the taxpayers of states like Ohio to subsidize them. And then those same taxpayers in Ohio and Indiana and elsewhere, they have fewer congressional representatives because of what California has allowed to happen. That's ridiculously unfair. And the only real way to fight back against it is for us to redistrict in some ways as aggressively as these hard blue states have done.
Yeah, no, he's exactly right. This is why they hate Trump and J.D. Vance and you. This is why they hate Donald Trump so much. Because, see, for years, red states haven't really fought back. Republicans never truly fought back. They'd do a little bit here, a little bit there. Things were better if Republicans were in charge, but they never really, really fought back. Donald Trump does that. He fights back. He fights, fights, fights. So now the Democrats have said, well, we've done it in all these states, but how dare the Republicans even think about doing it in one state? And J.D. Vance is saying that every red state should be pressing forward and fighting for their people.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
We now know Pam Bondi, the Attorney General, has authorized the special prosecutor to investigate allegations of mortgage fraud in the case of the congenital liar Adam Schiff and New York Attorney General Letitia James. And there will be grand juries in Maryland and in Virginia, respectively, that will investigate claims involving Schiff, involving Letitia James. Bondi named Ed Martin to serve as the special prosecutor. And early today, Bondi issued subpoenas and impaneled the grand jury as part of the criminal investigation into multiple allegations against the state of New York, according to a source familiar with the matter who requested anonymity.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
Hey, it's Sean Hannity here. It's no secret. I have been very outspoken ever since I was able to save money. I've been a longtime buyer of precious metals like gold and silver. In fact, I've been purchasing them for many decades now, and I'm so glad that I have. But who do I choose to help safeguard my money? Here's the deal. I've been with the award-winning precious metals dealer, Gold Co., for years now. I am a customer of Gold Co., and I was frankly relieved to find a great company that I trust and that I have stuck with, and they stick with me for the long haul. They keep it simple, and they've taught me a whole lot about the value of precious metals and how they can help protect your savings. I simply want you to call, no obligation, 855-815-GOLD, or just go to HannityGold.com. They'll send you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. You'll also learn about their unlimited bonus silver offer, and you're not going to want to miss that one. Trust me. Anyway, call now, 855-815-GOLD, or just go to HannityGold.com. That's HannityGold.com today.
Hey. This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blandon.
We've known for a while that voters generally dislike the new federal budget legislation, what President Trump calls the One Big Beautiful Bill. On our latest Fox News survey, we learned what items in particular make it unpopular. Topping the list, increasing the national debt limit. Most voters, three-quarters, disapprove of that. Two-thirds dislike reducing funding for food stamps, as well as making the 2017 tax cuts permanent for those with higher incomes. And over half are against increasing spending for immigrant detention centers and the border wall, and increasing work requirements for Medicaid. Of course, there are also things in the bill that voters like. The two most popular are removing taxes on tips and overtime pay and making the tax cuts permanent for those with lower incomes. About 7 in 10 approve of those elements. Make our website popular. Visit foxnews.com/poll. I'm Dana Blanton, and that's your Poll Parade.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
So what do we do in Montana? Montana is a red state, yet redistricting is run by the Democrats. And they run it down our throats every year. They've been doing it for decades. Why? Well, according to our Montana Constitution, there's two Republicans on the commission. There's two Democrats appointed to the commission. They're supposed to agree on a chair. If they can't agree on a chair, then the tie-breaking vote goes to the Montana Supreme Court. The Democrats, knowing that the left-wing mob runs the Montana Supreme Court, and the Montana Supreme Court could care less about fairness and justice and will do whatever the Democrats tell them, they appoint a Democrat to run the commission, and then they jam their blue maps down our throat. So, do we change the way we do redistricting? How do we do it? Do we get a constitutional initiative on the ballot to change this system? Now, Jeff Essman, who is one of the Republican appointees, he said that that Washington State does not have a tie-breaking vote. Washington State, they have two Republicans and two Democrats. And you better just figure it out, boys and girls. That seems pretty fair, right? But see, the Democrats don't want fair. And the left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court does not want fair either. They simply want power. They want power that is not representative of the will of the people here in Montana. And they're going to bitterly cling to power all the way to the bitter end. And eventually they will be toppled, and eventually we'll get fairness and justice on the Montana Supreme Court. But anyway, I can tell by this phony guest opinion column in the Lee newspapers by the so-called friends of the Montana Constitution, I can tell by this that the Democrats, they... Because you could say, well, maybe the Democrats might want a fair system because they see the tide turning in Montana, becoming a permanent red state. They should know that eventually they're going to lose the Montana Supreme Court. So maybe Democrats would be wise to embrace a fair approach to redistricting now. But based off of this phony op-ed by this left-wing activist, no, they want to maintain the system they got right now. Lee in Kalispell on the phone lines. Lee, what's on your mind today?
Hey, yes, I was going to talk about governor of Texas and then I was going to mention about the governor of New York.
Well, just go. Shoot. Go for it. Yeah.
And how she was saying that the rate of increase on prices was because of Trump and his tariffs. Now, I got something I have to agree with her on, because if they had not passed the big new deal, for instance, everything would have been tripled, and she has no respect for the people of her district or anybody else in the United States to say such things.
That's absurd. I mean, they wasted all this government taxpayer funding, and it drove inflation, and now they want to blame Trump for it when Biden and Tester were running us into the ground. Now, what were you going to say? Something about the Texas governor as well?
Oh, just that, you know, he was saying about the people getting rid of it. They have no respect for the people, their own people, to let them not show up for they're supposed to show up. If they don't, they're supposed to be able to be fired, and I hope they do.
Yeah. Yeah, they should be fired, or the people of Texas should fire them at the next earliest opportunity as well. All right, Lee, great to hear from you. Thanks for the phone call. We are out of time this hour of the show, but we got a big hour coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Attorney General Austin Knutson is in-house in the studio with us here. Of course, we're going to get a firsthand update from him. We broke the news on our Montana Talks website Friday afternoon, just seconds or minutes after tips started coming in. To my message inbox, that the Anaconda shooting suspect had been captured, and then so we got that news on our Montana Talks website. Dennis Bragg got it on the radio with the Montana State News Network updates, and then they had a 5:30 p.m. press conference in Anaconda Friday. We'll talk about that and more with Attorney General Austin Knutson joining us live in studio right here on Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. And even get to talk with your own attorney general, best AG in the country, by the way, right here.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blandon.
We've known for a while that voters generally dislike the new federal budget legislation, what President Trump calls the One Big Beautiful Bill. On our latest Fox News survey, we learned what items in particular make it unpopular. Topping the list, increasing the national debt limit. Most voters, 3/4, disapprove of that. 2/3 dislike reducing funding for food stamps, as well as making the 2017 tax cuts permanent for those with higher incomes. And over half are against increasing spending for immigrant detention centers and the border wall, and increasing work requirements for Medicaid. Of course, there are also things in the bill that voters like. The two most popular are removing taxes on tips and overtime pay and making the tax cuts permanent for those with lower incomes. About 7 in 10 approve of those elements. Make our website popular. Visit foxnews.com/poll. I'm Dana Blanton, and that's your Poll Parade.